Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to come back and minister unto your people words of wisdom, truth, and love. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, your power, your love. Abba, Father. Abba, Yah. Hallelujah. Glory be to your name, and we praise you. We magnify and exalt you. We lift your name up, and we give you all the honor, praise, and glory. Right now, in your precious Son's holy name, Yahushua, we give you praise and glory, Yahuwah. All that you've done, all that you're doing, all that you'll do in our lives. Glory be to your name on high now, forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're listening right now to the testimony. Hallelujah, where you can call in and share your testimony of the goodness of Yah in your life, what he's done, what he's doing, what he'll do. Hallelujah. How he's winning many souls into his kingdom. Hallelujah. And we give Abba Father Yah all the honor, praise, and glory in his precious Son's holy name. Hallelujah. And if you turn with me now, we're going to read Psalm 19. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says in Psalm 19, hallelujah, the heavens are telling the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. Hallelujah. And this is Psalm 19 we're reading. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. 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 There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard yet. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Hallelujah. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun. Hallelujah. Which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. Hallelujah. 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 And like a strong man runs his course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heaven and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired are they than gold. Hallelujah. 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 Even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of downy comb. More will thy than as your servant mourn, and keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And today, even, I wanted to share with you the importance of putting God first in everything that you do. In all that you do, put him first. Seek his face and trust in him and lean not to your own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And then when we do that, we give him praise in everything we do, be it, you know, when we're eating, when we're sharing his word, when we're working in all our activities, and to remember his truth. And even in this hour, it's to remember some of the basics, and part of the basics is nutrition and keeping our body strong, fit, and healthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And getting rid of idols in our lives and old traditions that would hinder us from coming into the fullness of what God wants for us in our lives. You know, God wants us as a sanctified people, holy and acceptable and set apart. And in that, we, through a process, begin to accept all that he's saying and follow his word and his truth. And we follow Yahusha and how he lived on this earth and what he did for us by coming here, you know, and going to the cross and dying for our sins so that we would have abundant life. And abundant life includes abundance of goodness of God, and that is even in our health and in the way we eat, in the way we think, and in our spirit. So, because God wants us holy, so that's mind, body, spirit, soul, everything of us, even our finances and everything that we do. And we have to put them first. So part of what we're going to be talking about today, and to God be the glory, is nutrition. And so if you can turn with me, we're going to read. We're going to read Deuteronomy 14. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. 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 And it says in Deuteronomy, we're going to start Deuteronomy 14. It says, "You are children of the Lord your God. You must not lacerate yourselves or shave your forelocks for the dead. For you are people holy to the Lord your God. It is you the Lord has chosen out of all the peoples on the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. "You shall not eat any abhorrent thing. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roebuck, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. Any animal that divides the hoof and has the hoof cleft in two and chews the cud. Among the animals you may eat." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And that's in Deuteronomy 14. And so therefore it lets us know that there are foods that we can eat and foods that we can't eat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so in that, we're to begin to set our sights on the things that please God. Hallelujah. 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 And if you turn even with me to Leviticus 11. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It breaks down the animals. But, you know, before I even go there, because a lot of us feel that we are being obedient to his word, there are certain foods that are unclean that we tend to still eat, and we say, well, we say grace, and yes, by God's grace is the reason why we're here, and we live and have our being, and it's by God's grace that, you know, we're not struck down for not following the commandments as they were handed down to us, you know. That's God's grace. But even in grace, there comes a time when we repent and a time that we begin to seek the Lord wholeheartedly and do his will the best we can, you know. And it's here a little, there a little, that we begin to move into the things of God. And God knows your heart, yes, and knows that you want to be right and you want to serve him right. And there's a time when you do have to make that decision and ask God for his Holy Spirit to lead and guide you in all truth to do the things that are pleasing to God, pleasing to him, pleasing to Yah, you know. And each day as you take that step forward, God will give you the grace to be able to do it. You know, it's the grace to be able to do it, not the grace so that you don't have to do it. It's the grace to be able to do it, and even the grace when you're not able to do it, to eventually be able to follow his laws and commandments. Hallelujah. 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 Because even in the day when God asked for Noah to take of all the beasts of the field, the clean and the unclean, two by two, there was a reason for taking the clean and the unclean. The unclean beast of the field, the unclean creatures of the sea, and the unclean fowl of the air is put there for a purpose, and it's not for us to consume. It's for the unclean to consume the unclean things of the air, the unclean things of the earth, and the unclean things
of the sea. So in that, if they are consuming unclean things of the air, the earth, and the sea, then we are not to turn around and consume the unclean things. Why? Because the unclean things of the earth, the air, and the sea can be harmful to us. So then we don't want to turn around and with these creatures that God has so orderly, divinely placed in the earth to consume unclean things so that we don't have to consume it and we don't have to be bombarded with the filth. He doesn't want us to turn around and consume them. And so with that, we have to consume the things that God has ordained for us to consume, which are considered clean. And so we need to know that it's important for our health. God always has our best interests in mind from the foundation of the earth. Our Father knows what's best for us. And so we're to ask even right now that the Holy Spirit will give us the grace to begin to remove these things from our diet. And it's important, especially in the South, because God is strengthening his people, and he wants us to walk in the beauty of holiness. So there are many unclean things that you are consuming, and you're saying your grace and saying it's okay, but they're still unclean. And so you want to eliminate them from your diet and begin to eat a diet that's healthy. So some of the things, anything that doesn't have fins or scales in the water is considered unclean. So if you eat anything that is in the sea that doesn't have fins or scales, they're unclean. They're scavengers. What they're put there to do, hallelujah, is to clean the bottom of the sea of all types of stuff, you know. And would just imagine of years and years and years of people living on the earth and consuming and eliminating, as well as all types of chemicals and toxins and everything else. Well, God has placed scavengers in the sea to consume these things, you know, and they're all, the scavengers consist of anything without fins or scales. And hallelujah, we thank you, Father God, for that, because if not, well, if not, the sea would be more polluted than what it already is. And it's polluted now because what we're not meant to consume, people are actually pulling out of the sea and selling and eating. And these creatures are meant to stay in the sea and be scavengers in the bottom of the sea to keep the sea floor clean. Hallelujah. And so some of these creatures that we've been consuming are shrimps, lobsters, crabs, clams, oysters, scallops, calamari, which is a form of squid, and I mentioned shrimps, and things of that nature. We have to eliminate it out the diet. We have to get rid of that idol type of food because it's something that you feel you can't do without. So then if you feel like you can't do without it, it becomes an idol. It becomes a belly god. So God wants us to remove it. And the thing, and there's more, but basically if you don't really know what they are, know this. If they don't have fins or scales, then they're not to be eaten. And then as we move to the earth, there are certain things that are not to be eaten as well. And, of course, the abominable things on the earth that's not to be eaten are the pig, the boar, you know. Oh, and by the way, a fish that people tend to think is okay to eat, that's not to be eaten, is catfish and eel. You know, those are scavengers, you know. They literally clean up the bottom of the sea, of not just, you know, you think they're eating other fish. No, they're eating feces. So, you know, God wants us to begin to come back to his laws and his truths, because they never changed. You know, they've always been there for us, and they've been there to keep us healthy and not so we're not harmed by these sea creatures and such things like shellfish. We're to, you know, because what they do is they like to consume the decaying matter, you know, like things that come from the sewer and the sewage, you know. And so we're not to turn around and eat these things because that's what they like to eat. And to God be the glory. Now, on the earth, you know, we are not to eat things like pig, things like rats, and there's so many things that are unclean on the earth that we're not to eat. And the number one thing I want to really put out there is the swine, which is the boar, the pig, the hog, and the forms of meat that comes from the hog is bacon and ham and lard, pork. You don't eat dog, and you don't eat fox and wolves and donkeys and horses and zebras. And, you know, you're not to eat cats and lions and tigers. And there's all type of insects that you're not to eat, as well as birds, you know, that when we move to the air, you know, the bat and the owl, you know, these things you're not to eat, and the eagle, and just so many different things of the air you're not to eat. And then the things that go from the water to the land, like alligators and lizards and snakes and turtles, you're not to eat that. Neither are you to eat frogs. And, you know, I know some people tend to put that in their diet. And another fish, which is swordfish, you know, those things are to be eliminated out of the diet, you know, and it's no longer to be an idol. It's no longer to be a belly god to you, you know. These are part of the commandments. And eel, which sometimes you find in sushi, you know, those, that's not to be eaten. And catfish, you know, and for some reason, sometimes we find it always in abundance, but you know, these things that we might find in abundance are not meant for us to consume. Matter of fact, they're not even meant to be on our table, let alone in our supermarkets. They're meant to remain in the sea, to keep the sea floor clean, you know, so that we don't have to constantly buy bottled water, you know, and have to constantly be wondering why we're not feeling as healthy as we should when we're eating unclean things. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And if you turn with me, we're going to read Deuteronomy 14. And it says, as we read it, to God be the glory, you shall not eat any abhorrent thing. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roebuck, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. Any animal that divides the hoof and has the hoof cleft in two, and choose the cud among the animals you may eat. Yet of those that chew the cud or have the hoof cleft, you shall not eat these. Okay, so there are some that you shall not eat: the camel, the hare, and the rock badger, because they chew the cud but do not divide the hoof. They are unclean to you. And the pig, because it divides the hoof but does not chew the cud, is unclean for you. You shall not eat their meat, and you shall not touch their carcasses. Of all that live in the water, you may eat these. Whatever has fins and scales, you may eat, and whatever does not have fins and scales, you shall not eat. It is unclean for you. You may eat any clean bird, but these are the ones that you shall not eat: the eagle, the vulture, the osprey, the buzzard, the kite of any kind, every raven of any kind, the ostrich, the nighthawk, the seagull, the hawk of any kind, the little owl, the great owl, the water hen, and the desert owl, the carrion vulture, and the cormorant, the stork, the heron of any kind, the hoopoe, bat, and all winged insects are unclean to you. They shall not be eaten. You may eat any clean winged creature. You shall not eat anything that dies of itself, and you may give it to the aliens residing in your towns for them to eat, or you may sell it to a foreigner. Now that's interesting. So therefore, so you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Hallelujah. 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 You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. Hallelujah. And I know many say, well, you know, when we read Acts and we read Timothy, that, you know, for some reason, you feel this equates with us now being able to eat anything we want. But actually, it was an allegory. It was really letting you see how God has taken a people that was considered unclean to him, which were the Gentiles, and he said they're no longer unclean. And in the vision that Peter had, he was hungry at the time, and he was in a trance. And so, therefore, he saw all types of unclean food. And basically, and you know, if you go to Acts 10, hallelujah, to God be the glory if we read it. Hallelujah. 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 And it says, when we go to Acts 10, we can go to verse 9, I believe it is, about noon. The next day, as they were on their journey, this is Peter, and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven open and something like a large sheep coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. And it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again a second time, "If God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly the men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing by the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Look, three men are searching for you. Now get up and go down and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them." So Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for, and what is the reason for your coming?" They answered, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So Peter invited them and then gave them lodging. The next day he got up and went with them, and some of the believers from Joppa accompanied him. The following day they came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him, and falling at his feet, worshipped him. But Peter made him get up, saying, "Stand up, I am only a mortal." And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had assembled. And he said to them, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean." Okay, so that was the vision. That's what it was all about. We will read on, but that's what it was. So when I was sent, hallelujah, 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 for I came without objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius replied, 4 days ago at this very hour, at 3 o'clock, I was praying in my house when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, "Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon a tanner by the sea. Therefore I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say." Then Peter began to speak to them. Hallelujah. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Hallelujah. So this was pertaining to the Gentiles, to the nations. Any nation is the who does right. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear not to all the people but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. It was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, and everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us of how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.'" Hallelujah. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. And then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silent, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we were reading Acts 10 all the way to Acts 11, verse 19. Hallelujah. It has nothing to do with no longer keeping the commandments about not eating, physically eating unclean things. It has something to do with now, as Yehuda, sharing the word of God with the Gentiles who back then were considered unclean because they were not the people of God. But now, because they accepted Yahushua, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior and believed on him, they become clean. They are no longer considered unclean. Those who believe in Christ Jesus have been sanctified, and their righteousness is of God. And we thank God for that. Hallelujah. For Jesus came unto the lost tribe of Yehuda first, and salvation comes to us first and then to the Gentiles. And so it was then, and so it is now, that we are to share his word even unto all the nations. And once they believe in Yahushua, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are no longer unclean. And that's what it's all about. It has nothing to do with the commandments of God and not in what he says of not partaking of the unclean, abominable things of the earth. We are to still to follow those commandments and not eat of unclean fowl of the air and unclean beast of the earth and unclean scavengers of the sea. That still remains God's saying yesterday, today, and forevermore with his word, with his commandments. But because Jesus came, and we thank God for Yeshua, now many are engrafted in to the body of Christ. And to God be the glory. So even in this very hour, get rid of your belly gods. Get rid of your idols in your home. Get rid of those things that you feel you can't do without because they become an idol. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to cleanse you, to purify your body, to cleanse your mind, to renew your mind so that you're able to follow the laws of God, to keep his commandments, to observe the Sabbath, to begin to worship him in the beauty of holiness, to get rid of those things that's not pleasing to him, that's an abomination. And to God be the glory. And it is a process. For some it may happen overnight. For others, it may take longer. And God does look at your heart and see. So in that, know that God wants our bodies sanctified unto him. And it begins in the heart. And as we begin to love him and trust him and seek him, then everything else will begin to follow. Hallelujah. And to God be the glory. And if anyone doesn't know Yahushua, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, just begin to accept him even in this very hour and believe on him. Because as you believe on him, then he will come into your circumference. The Holy Spirit will come and lead you and guide you in all truth. And you will be saved. Begin to read his word and pray and seek him. And you and your household will be saved. Hallelujah. 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 And to God be the glory. I thank you for listening in. And we'll talk again. But the Holy Spirit led me to speak about these things because to God be the glory. To God be the glory. It's in his word. And his word is truth. And you can go back and read Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, even Mark 7, Acts 10 and 11, Deuteronomy 5, and even Timothy, where it explains about those people in Timothy, because if it's misinterpreted, you'll feel that it's saying one thing and it's not. It's saying that there are people that are hypocrites that forbid marriage and demand abstinence from food, but they're being hypocrites because they're doing so many other things. It's not saying that it's hypocritical to abstain from unclean food. It's saying they forbid marriage and demand abstinence from foods, meaning people going around not even eating, period. So go back and read the word and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth, even in that, because it's saying abstain from all foods, not certain foods. And so that's where you can be confused. And I know some, it's a process, but by God's grace and his love, he will begin to help you to give up these things because they're meant to clean the earth. And so we wouldn't have so much pollution if we would allow these beasts of the field, these scavengers of the water and the scavengers of the air to do what they're meant to do, is be around to consume all the garbage that is not healthy for us. But if we're consuming them, then how are they going to consume the garbage and how are we going to be healthy? And to God be the glory, read Mark 7 as well. And even in Mark 7, when they were talking about washing up the hands, and Jesus wasn't happy with that because they were concerned with keeping their hands clean and things of that. It had nothing to do food they were concerned with. They were talking about keeping their hand, washing their hands. And God was saying, it's what comes out of your mouth, which is worse than what goes in, you know. And so, in other words, if they're not speaking and teaching truth and keeping their, washing their hands and speaking guile out of their mouth, then what is it? It's just as bad as eating, you know, things that are not good for you, because God wants us holy, you know, as he is holy. So to God be the glory, much love to you all. And remember, there's no greater love than Yah Abba, Yahuwah, and his Son, the Lamb of God, Yahusha, and the Holy Spirit. Much love. Bless Yah, and Yah bless. We'll talk again. God bless. God bless.